Chapter 15. Unfinished Business. In his years as Shen Yuan, Shen Qingqiu had forgotten just how interminable Peak Lord meetings could be. On his return, first return, he'd been half tempted to make a "this meeting could have been an email" mug for his own amusement. For today's meeting, he's painted the phrase in large English characters on an old paper fan. Watching Airplane's spit take when he unfurled it was satisfaction enough for the effort. Breaking the fan with a sharp crack when his fellow Peak Lords fell to squabbling about minutiae of procedure was just icing. "This master will take his disciple to deal with the injustice done to Tianlong Jun," Shen Qingqiu said into the quelling silence that followed. "We will ensure beforehand that he plans to take no vengeance against the human realms." "Your disciple, the demon," said Liu Qingge, the man least likely to be quelled by a broken fan. "Half, and I have endeavored to ensure his ties and loyalty to this realm are at least as strong as any filial ties he might have to that other side of his lineage." Like a dog with his teeth in old hide, Liu Qingge said, "So you knew that he was..." "How?" Yue Qingyuan interrupted. Shen Qingqiu wasn't certain if this was better or worse than arguing with his shidi. People tended to zone out on Liu Qingge's constant aggression. Yue Qingyuan was sect leader for a reason. Whether sword or words, when he used them, everyone paid attention.
"What did Qingqiu shidi do to ensure such loyalty?"
Luckily, Shen Qingqiu had brought one of his better fans in the likely event that he broke the email one. He unfurled it to hide from the murmurs and speculation that followed Yue Qingyuan's question. "Why say it like that, ah? Even if there was some truth to what you're suggesting, there's no need to tie the cause to the effect. Correlation is not causation, Chica. Be more scientific." "Does Zhang Men Shixiong doubt the loyalty Qing Jing's disciples have for their sect? That he thinks one might need special treatment to secure it?" he asks coolly, his fan giving him face as thick as Black Moon Python rhino hide. The question was a poisoned dagger hidden in the silk folds. It silenced Yue Qingyuan, but not everyone is wise enough to be wary. "How can anyone harbor such doubts?" muttered Qi Qingqi, "when we've had to put up with the bleeding of an entire flock of fluffy sheep during their Shizun's absence."
"And wasn't Luo Shiji always the worst of the lot?" asked the Beastmaster.
"He drew Zhang Yang," Wei Qingwei said, as though that was proof enough of Luo Bingha's good character, which it probably was from the swordsmith's perspective. Shen Qingqiu eyed him speculatively over the edge of his fan. If anyone might have advice on how to nullify Xin Wol's influence. "This master has had the opportunity to meet with disciple Luo recently over the past several years." Mu Qingfang's words quieted the murmurs more effectively than any dramatics could. Was Shen Qingqiu jealous? Incandescently so, but also grateful that his peers were ready to listen to him as they hadn't in his past life. As they were listening now to Mu Qingfang, "His time before he came to us was not the easiest, and perhaps because of this, he values the kindness shown to him all the more. Barring other influences, I doubt anything would shake his loyalty to his Shuzun." Chen Qingqiu's fan lowered as Mu Qingfang's placid gaze caught and held his own. "His time before he came to us, and barring other influences..." "He knows," Shen Qingqiu thought. Perhaps not the details, he could hardly believe Luo Bingha would have shared those during their sessions, but Shen Yuan had over a decade of experience in framing his trauma for a therapist who had far less reason to suspect outrageous truths than Mu Qingfang did from Luo Bingha. The Tianzhao Peak Lord had enough pieces to figure out that if the master was reliving a previous life, might the disciple not also be? To realize that Luo Bingha's mind
had once been corrupted and suspect it might become so again, and to be concerned about what that might bode for Shen Tingtou and Song Qiong sect. Time to move this on before Mu Shidi's worries became catching. Shen Tingtou shut his fan like a crane striking, drawing all attention back to himself. "Then I suggest we adjourn this pointless discussion so that I may ensure such influences don't dig their claws into my disciple." Barris courtesy made him wait for Yue Qingyuan's grudging nod. Then he was out of his seat like a shot to waylay Shang Tinghua, before the little rodent could scurry back to his grumpy cornetto cone. "Shang Shidi," he said, leaning hard into a soft smile. "Before you go, I need you to pass along a message." Wei Qingwei emerged from the meeting hall as Shang Tinghua was rushing off to rally Mu Beijun and Luo Bingha's troops. Falling into step with the swordmaster, Shen Tingqiu drew out the guardian's knife and the black and white moon squirrel pearls from the guardian's grove. "Wei Shidi, this Shixiong has a conundrum that perhaps only you can help resolve." Shen Tingqiu had been reluctant to delay returning to a no-doubt fretting Luo Bingha, but he counted the Shichen he spent discussing Xin Wu with the Wan Tian Peak Lord as a necessary side quest. The ambush he fell victim to on his hurried return to Qingding, now that was his idea of a gratuitous distraction. Shen Tingqiu had slogged through reading enough wife plots to recognize when he was caught in one, and he was genre-savvy enough to worry that escape was futile. He had broken the seal on the love interest package. He existed to be rescued by the protagonist. "This isn't a story," he scolded himself. "This is your life." Clinging to that truth, he tried to escape Xu Jilang's coils as the snake demon dragged him down from the Rainbow Bridge. He got swallowed for his trouble, and when Xu Jilang regurgitated him some time later, his robes had been eaten away by acid, leaving patches of pale skin artfully exposed, a shoulder and collarbone, a leg all the way up past his pale thigh, a nipple that shyly peeked out past the fall of his somehow unharmed hair. "Fucking wife plots," he grumbled to himself, tugging his clothes into a semblance of decency. He lost Shouya during his capture, but he still had the guardian's knife tucked at the small of his back, now coated in crushed pearl residue Wan Tian guaranteed to cleanse demonic influence. All he had to do was plant the blade in Luo Bingha's chest. He shuddered, shying away from that thought and hoping it wouldn't come to that. Mistaking the movement for chill, Zhu Jilong removed his outer robe and offered it up for use. Shen Tingqiu waved it aside. He had some dignity left, and accepting outer robes from strange men risked giving those men ideas. Luckily, his falling apart robes counted as naked enough that Zhu Jilong didn't search him before bullying him into a large tent at the center of a military camp. The inside was about what Shen Tingqiu expected of a general's tent. Weapons, maps, a strategy table split down the middle to represent the terrain of Maigu Ridge. No bed in sight, so this wasn't a seduce the wife from the protagonist plotline. It was even odds on one of those when there was a demonic kidnapper involved, and the snake template probably upped the chance of that to 60-40. "Shen Daozhang need not worry," said the demon, settling into the form of a scale-spattered young man in drab robes of olive and pondweed green. "Once cousin assists us in rescuing Jun Shang, this Zhu Jilang will set you free." So hissy snake instead of sexy snake. He was probably safe from seduction. This had all the flags of a misunderstanding or a family drama plot. While he calculated his narrative risk, Shen Tingqiu studied the markers on the map to assess the strategic situation. He picked up a countermarker with the crest of the southern obsidian-frilled basilisk tribe, demons built like tanks. Tanks that could fly and spit a burning, sticky poison that was like napalm on steroids. "And what does your Junchang plan to do if Nuo Bingha frees him?" Zhu Jilong made no attempt to stop Shen Tingqiu from observing the troop placements and battle plans. Hubris, or an acknowledgement that with this kidnapping, his entire operational strategy had shifted. The scales, scattered like freckles across his cheeks, shimmered in the tense lamplight. He said, "Shen Daozhang has just returned from the endless abyss. Perhaps he hasn't heard of the old palace master's crimes. Is Jun Shang's vengeance not deserved?" "This master has also heard of the old palace master's death, and the deaths of many promising young cultivators during your attack on the Immortal Alliance conference last year. The same human realm that condemned your Jun Shang also protected and raised his son." Setting the counter aside, Shen Xingqiu folded his hands in his acid-shredded sleeves and faced his captor. "Surely the wrongs against your Jun Shang have been paid for. If he is freed, let that be an end to the matter." Ah, this Zhu Jilong had heard about the kindness of Peak Lord Shen towards his favorite disciple. That is why he has been spared. The blush of delicate green that followed those words made Shen Qingqiu want to spit blood. What kindness? Why say it like that? Damn the ex-guardian for being a loose-tongued gossip. Not only did she blab to everyone that Bing He would soon return from the Endless Abyss with Xin Wu in hand, she even told them about this? Why did all his fans end up being destroyed by acid or lava or slime or other fluids that shouldn't be associated with bodies but somehow always were? Ignorant of Shen Qingqiu's crisis, Zhu Jilong continued in his soft and sibilant way. "But this is something you must know about Jun Shang. Any kindness he receives, he will remember and repay tenfold. But any wrong against him will be paid back 100 times over." Wait, hadn't Tianlong Jun been staked under a mountain before Luo Binghe was even born? How could such a life philosophy be hereditary? And yet it made narrative sense. A paternal nemesis for a protagonist's son. Shen Qingqiu could almost be impressed by the literary parallelism. "If that is the way your Jun Shang balances his ledgers," Shen Qingqiu said, meeting and holding Zhu Jilong's gaze, "then this one's life is a small price to pay for the safety of the human realm. But it is not for Immortal Master Shen to decide his relative worth." Zhu Jilong's eyes held no animosity or threat, only the assessing disinterest of a predator who'd eaten recently and wasn't hungry, but hadn't ruled out killing you anyway. He said, "That account will be balanced by another." Another. Luo Binghe, who had fixated all his vengeance on Shen Qingqiu in a past life, who'd followed him into death after only a brief brush with an alternate, kinder version of himself, who, even without Xin Wu's influence, had clung to him in this life in the faint hope that he might receive more than kindness. Who had, in the brief time since he'd reclaimed Xin Wu, had already shown that his fixation was a constant, that he would rip apart anything, people, circumstances, realities, that threatened to tear him from his Shusun. Shen Qingqiu recalled Mu Qingfang's warning words. A tingle numbed his extremities and crawled like entropy up his limbs towards his heart. He couldn't find his tongue, couldn't blink. The edges of his reality began to crack, like a sword shattered into 1,000 pieces. A commotion outside the tent ended the unblinking stare-down with Zhu Jilong before Shen Qingqiu could lose the stare-down or himself. Never get in a staring contest with a snake, Shen Qingqiu reminded himself, as Zhu Jilong left the tent. He sagged against the strategy table, breathing through the incipient panic attack until the tingling faded. Then he followed the snake, because whatever might happen, he couldn't change it by hiding. The tent stood at the edge of Maigu Ridge. On the side that didn't have the deadly drop 10,000 feet, a large army camp spread out in patchwork disorder. The various compounds bristled with the standards of dozens of southern demon tribes and clans, and practically steamed from the stink of so many hot-blooded warrior bodies. Any plans Shen Qingqiu might have had of using something, say Realgar wine, to subdue Gigi Long and make his escape, evaporated like the mists rising from the chasm. If he could steal a spiritual sword, maybe he could make a break over the ridge, but the demon reporting to Gigi Long carried no weapon but claws, horns, and jagged-edged teeth. Though his report brought with it new hope. Amassing off the west flank, the orange-skinned demon was saying, "They say they haven't attacked yet, but it looks like the bulk of the northern desert forces and the traitor southern clans that Xiao Xia seduced away after she deposed her father." "Then let us see if Cousin Luo can be persuaded to rescue Jun Chang, or if he requires incentive to remind him of his filial duty. Join us, Peak Lord Shen," Zhu Jilong said as he transformed again into a snake large enough, as Shen Xingqiu knew from painfully embarrassing experience, to swallow a grown man. Rather than repeat that ignominious method of transport, Zhu Jilong allowed Shen Xingqiu to climb atop his head. They slithered swiftly down the slope towards the smudge on the horizon that must be Luo Bingha's amassing army. Shen Xingqiu leapt from Zhu Jilong before the snake could transform and leave him riding piggyback. He landed in a flutter of fabric. His relief that his disciple had brought an army instead of Xinwu only lasted until they reached the front lines, and he realized that the only person who wasn't present seemed to be Luo Bingha.
"Cucumber bro!"
Shang Qinghua shouted from his place behind Wu Beijun's thigh. And then compounded Shen Qingqiu's cringe at this address by gasping,
"Your robes!"
Shen Qingqiu thickened his face and did his best to tug the shreds together over the most delicate bits of exposed flesh. There were ladies present.
Don't be shy, Shen Xixiong," called Xi Qingqi with a wide grin. She obviously didn't count among said ladies. Nor did Xia Hualing, who sauntered up to Mo Beijun's side and asked in a voice as ringing as her many bells, "What's wrong with his robes? They look like something I might..." Whatever her opinion of them was fell silent at a touch and headshake from Liu Mingyan. Shen Qingqiu whispered a mental thanks to his favorite Shiji.
"Shiji seems unharmed."
That comment came from Yue Qingyuan, though the uptick in his voice conveyed a question as much as the furrow of his brow suggested concern. Concern Shen Qingqiu shared the longer he scanned the amassed armies without spotting.
"Where's Luo Bingha?"
he asked, dreading the answer. Never one to let shifting, awkward silence deter him, Liu Qingge huffed.
"That brat took his damn sword and left."
Fuck. The panic attack he'd barely quelled in the tent surged like waves trying to claim a drowning man. He couldn't breathe for fear of choking on it. His fingers clawed at his thighs for something solid to hold on to. His gaze searched the crowd for the same. It landed on a gleaming pearl-bright face in the rear ranks of Xiao Hualing's southern forces, as distinct from her comrades as a star was from the night sky around it, a fixed point in the universe. It studied him. The guardian, former guardian, of Xinwu, watched him with sad eyes and a solemn expression. He shook his head. Even from this distance, he could read the words shaped by her pink lips. "You must."
"I won't," Shen Qingqiu whispered. "What was it all for? His family lost all these years, these lifetimes of healing, if in the end his destiny was to hurt Luo Bingha again." "So you let him hurt you instead?" He shuddered at the thought, eyes closed, arms wrapped around himself, lips pressed tight to swallow the bile that threatened to overwhelm him alongside the memories. The guardian's knife was a small thing, the blade barely longer than his hand, but it weighed at his waist heavier than the demonic blade it was forged to stomp. The shift of blood parasites in his veins, like an itch that ran as deep as his bones, was the only warning Shen Qingqiu got, before reality tore itself asunder and a body hurtled through. Not hurtled, hurled. The mass of grimy, blood-crushed limbs and tattered robes slammed into Zhijilang, bowling over the snake demon and entangling him like a net. They emitted a soft whimper that sounded like, "Nephew." But Shen Qingqiu had little mind for that reunion. What caught his attention, like the sickening reveal of a horror movie slasher, was the form that followed. Luo Bingha, roiling with power and Xin Mo a screaming presence in his grip. The smile on his face seemed perfectly genial, perfectly sane, except that it didn't match the murder flashing in his eyes as his gaze passed over the assembled cultivators and demons before landing on Shen Qingqiu.
"Who?" murmured Mu Qingfang,
and Shen Qingqiu could forgive him his confusion. Even though the doctor had been meeting with Luo Bingha weekly for years, that boy was as far from this Luo Bingha as Shen Yuan's world was from the endless abyss. But Shen Qingqiu knew him. Hadn't seen him for decades, but this was a face he would never forget. His nightmares would never let him.
"Shuzun,"
the beast said, and took a step towards him. Shen Qingqiu's step back was pure instinct, his flinch as much for memories as it was for the current moment. But it was enough to snuff the last flicker of fondness in Luo Bingha's expression.
"Ah, Shuzun has always seen this one best,"
he said. It sounded more condemnation than compliment. In the struggle to find his voice, Shen Qingqiu lost his chance to de-escalate.
"Luo Bingha,"
Yue Qingyuan pronounced like the judgment of the damned, followed by Liu Qingge's growled, "Demon." And both men stepped between Shen Qingqiu and doom. His breath caught at that. Nobody had done so in his past life, before exhaling in a huff. Shen Yuan had been Sandi for 2 decades, long enough to be exasperated by such brotherly overprotectiveness, even if it wasn't really over in this case.
"Step aside. Do you want to die?"
he hissed, poking at robes of magpie black and white and falcon gray. He wished he had a fan to make the pokes effective. A flutter of black and white, and then he was swathed head to toe in an outer robe, Yue Qingyuan wrapping an arm protectively around him, his free hand on Shen Su.
Luo Bingha growled. "I know you think you're helping, but you're not,"
Shen Qingqiu hissed at the 2 lunkheads who seemed determined to shroud themselves in death flags a 2nd time. He knocked the magpie robes off his shoulders, lest they prove more of a red flag to Luo Bingha.
"Stand aside."
When Yue Qingyuan cast him that mournful kicked dog look, he added, "I can handle this.
Recall your promise, Qige. Don't you dare break this one."
Yue Qingyuan crumbled like he'd been kicked, but he stepped back and dragged a reluctant Liu Qingge with him. The miasma of rage had only thickened around Luo Bingha during the brief interruption, worse than Shen Qingqiu had ever seen in this life or his first. But wasn't that to be expected? Luo Bingha had said this was his Xin Mo, bathed in the blood of 1,000 conquests and the sexual degradation of 3,000 women. The man before him wasn't a White Lotus disciple, Luo Bingha, or even the newly scorched one fresh from the abyss. This was the fully charred Luo Bingha after 6,666 chapters of misery and hate. Shen Qingqiu had to take him away before he burned the entire world down with him. It was the hardest thing he'd ever done, to release his death grip on his sanity and reach out to his death.
"Luo Bingha, this master is pleased that you were able to free your father from his unjust imprisonment. Why don't you and I go elsewhere to speak while these gathered forces disperse?
Empty words. All Shuzun has for this one is pity and empty words." The careful way Luo Bingha took his hand, the thumb that stroked each knuckle and joint as though determining the precise pressure necessary to disconnect bone, sinew, and flesh, made Shen Qingqiu shiver. A reaction Luo Bingha was too close, too paranoid to miss. The miasma around him pulsed as he met and held Shen Qingqiu's gaze.
"Oh,
and fear.
Raising Shenxingqiu's cold hand to his lips, Luo Bingha dragged his nose, and his tongue, up the soft flesh of his inner arm from wrist to elbow's bend.
We've always loved the taste of your fear.
Impudent beast!
Liu Tingge charged forward as Yue Tingyuan released his hold to reach for Xuan Su. The sliver of light and killing intent from one soon of that unsheathing was enough to rock Shenxingqiu and Luo Bingha where they stood, and to knock most of the onlookers back on their asses. There would be no talking Luo Bingha down with this lot watching. Choosing his doom over the world's, Shenxingqiu stepped into the curve of Luo Bingha's arm. His tattered robe slid down to expose his collarbone and the curve of a shoulder.
Then perhaps we should go somewhere that Bingha can drink his fill, in private.
If his heart weren't doe-leaping in terror, he might have cringed at this second-rate seductress dialogue, but it got the job done. Tossing Yue Tingyuan a smile that was half-disdain, half-triumphant gloating, Luo Bingha slashed Xin Wu through the air behind him and fell back into the void, dragging Shenxingqiu with him. Shenxingqiu would have stumbled as they emerged, if not for Luo Bingha's tight hold. With his face smashed against that hard chest, he couldn't see where Luo Bingha had brought them, but the scent of sulfur and ash was unmistakable. He'd brought them back to the endless abyss. And not just anywhere, but...
The crushing spirit lava flats, Shenxingqiu murmured into the muffling silk of Luo Bingha's inner robe, the only protection he had against the dizzying fumes.
Shuzun disapproves.
Luo Bingha's question was heard more as a rumble in his chest than words. The howl of the endless abyss was loud even on a day of relative quiet.
Shuzun is confused.
He expected somewhere else on Maigu Ridge, or the water prison of Huanhua, even some tacky palace in the demon realm with a stalker's recreation of his Qingjing bamboo house would have been within the realm of imagining. But here,
what is confusing?
Luo Bingha released him so quickly that Shenxingqiu lost his footing and stumbled back several paces before finding it again. His first breath of air, unfiltered by his captor's chest, seared Luo Bingha's scent from his lungs, and he raised a tattered sleeve to protect himself from the hot cinder spark fumes that swirled around them like determined scarlet emberflies. Black, cracked waves of cooled lava rolled and twisted across the landscape like silk sheets on a rumpled bed. The only light came from the cracks in the scarred ground, where the magma underneath glowed a red gold brighter than Luo Bingha's Zui Yin.
Wait, doesn't it stop being magma after it's broken the surface? He thought, with a stifled giggle that was 80% nerves and 20% reaction to the fumes.
Does Shuzun not know?
Luo Bingha asked softly, all his attention on Shenxingqiu, as though he was the most interesting feature of the apocalyptic landscape.
Did that novel of his never say, this is where it all started?
Where Bingha fell, you mean?
Shenxingqiu's voice wavered, his breath thin. He blamed that on the fumes, too. But no. That had been this time. The first time had been elsewhere.
Where the three realms were torn asunder when the first heavenly demon fell. Where Xin Wu was forged.
He lifted Xin Wu. The sword's glow, like its wielder's Zui Yin, bled out into the matching light around them, and all pulsed in time like the beating heart of an angry, wounded world.
Where we fell, and what better place than where it all started?
For what?
For it all to end,
Luo Bingha said, and sank Xin Wu's blade deep into the ground. Lava welled up like blood, definitely lava and not magma, now that it flowed free across the black charred flats. Shenxingqiu stumbled as spiderweb cracks split the cooled shell of the surface, and more red flowed, the world's heartblood gushing from a mortal wound. At this level, the pattern of the flow seemed random,
But Shen Tingzhou suspected that from above, the shape carved was as familiar as the sigil on Luo Bingha's brow.
"What are you doing?"
he whispered, afraid he already knew. Protagonists never liked to repeat themselves. They only knew how to escalate. And this Luo Bingha was the protagonist to end all protagonists. In his last life, he'd merged the realms at Maigu Ridge. What more could he do here? Here, where it all started, the import of Luo Bingha's threat became clear. Here, where it will all end.
"You're going to end the world?"
he hissed, appalled.
"Didn't Shuzun say it before?"
In this light, Luo Bingha was a figure painted in reds, from the brightest coral to the deepest blood, and yet, even now, his Zuiyin pulsed brighter than anything, pulsed in time with the same symbol carved in the center of Xin Wu's crossguard.
"The only way to fix everything is to die and be reborn into a kinder, gentler life."
"This is not what I meant," Shen Qingqiu wanted to shout.
But he was speaking to Xin Wu now. Luo Bingha was only the filter, and Xin Wu wasn't a creature of sense or reason.
"This one promised to take Shuzun back to his family,"
Luo Bingha muttered, as he pried Xin Wu like a lever, deepening and widening the crack. The endless abyss convulsed in response.
"If this world ends, he can return to that world. We can be together in that world."
"How will you find me? You don't know that world. I'm dead in that world."
Dead in every world. Soon to be dead in this one, if he couldn't stop this.
"This is the only world we have. This is the life we've been given." "This lord isn't one who meekly accepts what is given,"
Luo Bingha said as clouds roiled and the world trembled and light flashed, cold blue from above, searing red from below, to punctuate his pronouncement.
"This lord sees what he wants and takes."
"Yeah, not your most charming quality,"
he muttered under his breath in a tone that was almost entirely Shen Yuan. Lurching to keep his footing in a shattering cosmos, he fumbled at his back. The solidity of the guardian dagger's hilt was the lifeline that kept him from bolting and trying his chances alone in the endless abyss. He could still fix this. He had to fix this. For himself. For Bingha. For the world, apparently. Fuck these epic climaxes. If he survived this one, he was only reading Slice of Life from now on.
"In the next life, this lord will have another chance to charm Shuzun. Eventually I'll get it right."
Luo Bingha took a step closer, and Shen Tingqiu retreated a step out of pure preservation instinct. And also on instinct, he drew the only weapon he had. He might as well have dumped scalding tea over his disciple's head, the way Luo Bingha's scowl cracked and tears welled up. They shone like pearls in the gleam of the guardian's knife. Luo Bingha fell to his knees.
Shuzun,
he whispered, as though the knife's pale light had momentarily washed away the bloodlust. And then,
"Ah, Yuan, you have to stop this. You have to stop us."
"Us." Xin Wu pulsed at his side, a rabid, growling wolfhound to Shen Tingqiu's yapping teacup poodle of a knife. Shen Tingqiu flinched, and more tears spilled down Luo Bingha's cheeks. False tears? Real? Did it matter when they made Shen Tingqiu's gut twist? He came back to this life to do one thing, and now here he was, the same abyss, the same choice. Destroy Luo Bingha to save himself. He couldn't do it. Couldn't use the knife on Luo Bingha. Even if the cut wasn't a mortal one, even if the pearl dust coating the blade would theoretically only purify his heart demons instead of killing him and destroying his soul, he'd come back to stop Luo Bingha's pain. He couldn't throw that away to cause pain instead. But what else could he do? Turn the knife on himself? Would his death somehow snap Luo Bingha out of this murder-suicide train wreck of a plot? In one life, Shen Xingqiu had been selfish, callous to the suffering he inflicted on others in a desperate attempt to alleviate his own. In another life, guilt had made him perhaps a little too selfless, sacrificing his own peaceful rebirth to fix someone else. There had to be a better way. The guardian knife wavered in his grip. Luo Bingha grimaced in pain, doubled over with it. Xin Wu pulsed, as red-hot as the lava welling up around it. The world trembled and cracked. Xin Wu, heart demon. Shen Xingqiu grimaced at the face slap of a metaphor. It was all he could do not to spit blood. Oh, fuck this whole Xianxiao world and everything in it. Airplane, system, this reader user wants a refund. With a cry that was fueled as much by irritation as desperation, Shen Xingqiu brought the knife down. The last thing he saw was Luo Bingha, shoulders thrown back and eyes closed to accept the blow. And then the world exploded with light. The world was dark and everything hurt. Shen Yuan groaned and opened his eyes to blinking colored lights and soft beeping. That solved the darkness part, not so much the pain. His chest ached like it was being cracked open and all his insides poured outside. His limbs felt like longevity noodles, stretched and beaten and stretched again, and his head pulsed in time with the beeping, flashing lights. Wait, he knew this. He'd done this before, he... Sanga? A soft, familiar voice. Familiar like family, familiar like... Mei Mei, he croaked, and almost immediately something cold, hard, and wet was being pressed to his lips. An ice chip. He sucked on it out of habit, and it eased some of the dryness. Later, he'd thank Mo Beijun for providing such comforts. Wait. Mei Mei. And Mo Beijun. These two things did not go together. He inhaled sharply and spent the next several moments trying not to choke on an ice cube. With his Mei Mei gently patting his back and holding a dish for him to hack spume into. You're in the hospital, she said, once his coughing had subsided, though the pain had doubled. As though sensing this, she helped him resettle against the pillows, propped up his IV arm, made sure the tape was secure and the needle was still in place, and none of the tubes had become dislodged. You had an arrhythmia incident, and then you fell and hit your head. You've been in a coma for 4 days. This is your third time waking up, though you seem more lucid this time. I think you'll remember me telling you this. Her report was clinical, but with compassion, a familiar dance from many a hospital visit. When she declared herself as pre-med, he'd joked that she'd already spent half her life doing hospital rotations just taking care of him. She found it less amusing than he did. But wait. He'd been dead. A transmigration system had sent him back to his previous life to fix his mistakes and resolve his regrets. Hadn't it? Was this some all-just-a-dream bullshit? Fuck, he hated that trope so much. Going through so much nonsense and it didn't even matter? No thank you, lazy authors unwilling to commit to their own bullshit. Cowards the lot of them. Sangha, are you getting worked up about a literary trope? Your heart monitor is... Shen Yuan shook himself out of his fugue to the sound of a distressed monitor and a concerned Mei Mei. Device, he said, because that distinction was important. It's a literary device, not a trope. A trope is a type of literary device, but... Oh my god, you really were getting pissed off about a writing thing? She laughed, but it carried the edge of relief. When she smoothed the covers over his feet, she said, At least I know it's still you in there. Something about her hesitation, her caution, centered him. He'd worried her, more than he usually did. You thought it might not be. You said some things, the last time you woke up, about your life before. She chewed her lip, her grip on his hand tight enough that it pressed away his other pains. "About being that man. That's not you anymore. But for a while it had been. Whether it was real or just a coma dream, Shen Yuan had been changed by it. He'd gone from fearing his past and hating the person he'd been to accepting who he was and loving. And that mattered. He'd tried to make it better. It had to matter or he'd go mad. And he refused to go mad missing Luo Bingha. Those last moments were an inescapable memory. The shine of Luo Bingha's tears, the pulsing red of Xin Wu, and the flash of the guardian dagger striking true. He really hoped Bingha was okay. He really hoped he'd been real. I don't want to think about it. Maybe someday he'd tell her, and his therapist. Maybe when he could tell himself that it had all been just a dream. I'm going to sleep now, but I promise I'll remember when I wake up. That's what you always say, she said, stroking his short hair fondly, softly enough that it didn't hurt. But it's okay, Sangha. I'll be here either way. The next time he woke, it was to conversation that had probably started soft and quickly escalated to familiar squabbling. No, you need to keep the windows closed. The last thing San Di needs is to catch a cold. Daga said, with a certainty of someone who got all his medical knowledge from old aunties and dog blood dramas. What he needs is fresh air, Arga protested, as though fresh air was a cure-all to rival any PIDW flower. Colds come from viruses, not a random breeze, Daga. Mei Mei's scorn cracked as loudly as the shutting window. And really, Arga, fresh air in B City? It's more likely than you might think. Shen Yuan murmured, unable to stop himself from memeing, even when he was climbing out of his own grave. His words caught his siblings' attention, and soon he was surrounded by their haranguing concern. He swallowed past a constricted throat and tried to be discreet with his sniffles, not wanting his brothers to feel guilty over being the cause of his congestion, whether viral or smog-related. "Pulled every string I have to get you discharged," Dago was saying, by the time Shen Yuan collected himself enough to pay attention. "I'm working with Fuqin and Muqin to move you up the donor list. They arranged to be transferred back to B City, so they'll be home for good by the end of the month. You'll stay with me in the meantime." "Wait, what donor list?" Shen Yuan looked to Mei Mei, who was least likely to talk around an answer. Daga, or bluster his way through one. Arga. "For a heart," she said, smoothing the blankets tucked across his chest. Her voice was thick with tears, and she wouldn't meet his gaze. "The attack caused a lot of damage, and the head injury and coma exacerbated your condition. The doctors don't think... you don't have..." She fell silent, no amount of classroom training enough to prepare her manner for Shen Yuan's bedside. He patted her hand to let her know she didn't have to continue. He knew the rest. Every day since his birth, in this world, had been a borrowed one. Well, that explained the cracked open feeling in his sternum, and the hovering of all three of his siblings. Usually they stayed with him in shifts. But their parents coming home? Daga expected Shen Yuan to move in with him. Wasn't this too much? He cleared his throat when his voice cracked. And even that effort left him feeling like a cored apple. "I'll be fine at my place. I'll be careful, I promise. No more terrible web novels. I'll only read cozies and coffee shop AUs. And get yourself wound up over inaccurate depictions of the barista experience," Arga muttered, earning a glare from all three of his siblings. Daga harumphed. "San Di misunderstands. You have to come home with me. It's the only way." "The hospital only agreed to release you because we arranged full-time care," Mei Mei said.
Daga has medtech setting up equipment for your room, and we've hired a rotation of nurses.
It's a wonder they're discharging you at all.
Arga's cracking knuckles said it was less of a wonder and more a result of the combined persuasion of all three Shen siblings. All of them caring for him as best they could. They knew he'd go mad in a hospital room, so they moved heaven and earth to let him spend his final days at home. And Shen Yuan knew it was final days, even if nobody would admit it. The chances of a donor match were slim. He'd been granted a reprieve to say his farewells, the same way he'd been allowed to go back and fix his past mistakes. Maybe when this business is finished, I'll finally be allowed some of Meng Po's soup, he thought. It would be nice to go to his next life scrubbed clean of all the detritus he'd accumulated. The weight of it dragged at his limbs. Even his eyelids felt too heavy to keep open. He blinked, fighting sleep instead of tears. He was too tired for tears.
Okay then, Shen Yuan said, knowing his lack of protest would alarm his siblings, but too exhausted to care. I think I need to sleep now.
His eyes slid closed, and he was out before his siblings could wish him pleasant dreams. Shen Yuan was so bored that dying was starting to sound like a relief. A great adventure, one of his childhood English practice readers had called it. He'd hated the book at the time, rooted for the maligned villain over the obnoxious Sprout protagonist. Now, though, he thought he could see the brat's point. His discharge had been delayed, the doctors concerned about the impact that even mild activity had on his heart rate and vitals. He'd been stuck in his bed for almost a week, the same four walls, the same soft hisses and beeps of machinery, the same nurses tending him with compassionate efficiency. Daga confiscated his phone the first time he gave himself an episode, searching for PIDW news. Mei Mei snuck him in some of her doujinshi, but it was untranslated. The slow pace of reading meant he wasn't prone to getting worked up over bad writing, but the mental load of translating gave him a headache and made him sleepy. He suspected that was the point. At least it kept him from thinking about recent events that felt more like a dream as the days passed, about the void that was his future, about Luo Bingha and all the confused feelings that came with that name, about the rift that was creeping down his wall like a slow zipper, spitting out three figures in Xianxia Hanfu.
Wait, what?
Oh, now this is a place I have not missed in the slightest. Said the first to emerge, the one that resembled Daga and felt like looking into a mirror. He held a folded fan tightly, a lifeline Shen Yuan had often clung to when he was Shen Qingqiu. The two Luo Binghas that followed him ignored their surroundings, focused on Shen Yuan's figure. He cringed into the pillows, feeling small among the machines and tubes and wires.
It was real. They were real.
That, or Shen Yuan was having a very convincing death hallucination. But he decided to be an optimist, as a treat.
Which, he started, and then realized he knew without being told.
One of the Bingha's gaze darted curiously between Shen Yuan and Shen Qingqiu. The other Bingha watched Shen Yuan as though there were no other light in the universe.
Shizun,
that one said, an exhalation of relief.
Hold up.
Shen Qingqiu barred the way with his fan when Luo Bingha would have launched himself at Shen Yuan.
We had an agreement. You, other me. You know this Oji Bingha?
Oh, he was being protective. It was sweet. This must be the kind Shusun Luo Bingha had spoken of. The one who could only be another Shen Yuan transmigrated into Shen Qingqiu, never realizing that it was a life he'd already lived and left behind. Which really raised the question, just how many Shen Yuans and Luo Binghas were there in the multiverse?
As many as there are rotten girls in Fujoshi in the firmament.
The frightening thought bubbled up unbidden, and he set it aside to consider never. He was not on enough drugs to handle that kind of existential crisis.
Shuzun,
Luo Bingha prompted plaintively, and then, even smaller,
Ah Yuan?
Ah.
Yes,
he croaked. Too long lying around without speaking, he hacked phlegm like black blood.
Yes, Bingha. You found me. Oof.
Apparently, the acknowledgement was enough to catapult Luo Bingha past Shen Qingqiu's guard, because Shen Yuan found himself with arms full of sticky demon lord.
You found me. I'm fine. We're fine.
He hid the reassurances in Luo Bingha's hair for lack of a fan, but quickly pushed Luo Bingha off. They had an audience, after all, and issues to discuss.
How did you find me? How did you get here?
A horrifying possibility occurred to him.
Xin Wu.
After all we went through to destroy that fool's gold finger.
No, Shuzun, never again. I used this.
Light unfurled from a pearlescent cylinder in Luo Bingha's grip, complete with a low hum that rose and fell as he swished the
fucking airplane,
Shen Yuan cursed, gaze traveling to his counterpart as though to ask, can you believe this shit?
Oh, trust me,
Shen Qingqiu said, making no effort to disguise his scowl.
I'm going to beat my version bloody when we get back to my instance.
The way the other Bingha, Bing Mei, was watching his counterpart sword, red envy gleaming in his eyes, Shen Yuan suspected such retribution would take a backseat to acquiring a similar weapon for himself. Palming exhaustion from his eyes, Shen Yuan said, let's sidestep who's to blame for that trademark infringement. Can you explain how you acquired it, and what that has to do with how you got here?
We made it. Together. When you used the Guardian's dagger to stop Xin Wu,
Luo Bingha said, which was certainly a way to describe those final moments when Shen Qingqiu shifted his aim from Luo Bingha's chest to the Zuiyin in the center of Xin Wu's hilt. That sunbright flash of heat when the two blades merged and the Guardian knife's purifying light overtook Xin Wu's corrupting rage. It was a desperate gambit Shen Qingqiu hadn't been sure would work. The results were certainly a lot more explosive than he'd anticipated, blowing him all the way back to his previous life. But the merging of their weapons was, well, he had to admit, it was kind of cool. Luo Bingha demonstrated with a few more showy moves when he noticed the way Shen Yuan's gaze followed him. Ah, well, if he was going to be subjected to crossover content, he might as well enjoy it.
It's named Zhengxin,
Luo Bingha said.
Zhengxin, it was a fitting name. A whole heart for a healed protagonist.
As expected from my Bingha. Shen Qingqiu sighed, as though he was more accustomed to serving dog food than consuming it.
As near as I can tell, your, joint selfless act drained Xin Wu's resentment and fused it with a guardian's knife. Zhengxin seems to have many of Xin Wu's abilities and none of its drawbacks. As for our presence,
I couldn't find you, Luo Bingha said. The room dimmed as the red light retracted into the pearl-studded hilt.
Your dream memories weren't enough to guide me, but I knew someone who could.
We'd sealed our reality against Xin Wu, but apparently this new weapon can cut even through those wards, said Bing Mei with a glare that suggested such flimsy seals would be improved the moment they returned home, possibly even before he gained a lightsaber of his own. Shen Qingqiu's hand on his arm was all that was needed to turn the growling wolf back into an adoring sheep. I only agreed to bring him here with the understanding that if you did not want his company, we would make him leave. Shen Yuan wanted to question how these two knockoffs thought they could make his Bingha do anything. Ah, they really were soft. Too soft.
Now that it seems you do, Shen Qingqiu continued, perhaps you'd best send us back. Only then did Shen Yuan realize that Shen Qingqiu's grip on Bing Mei's arm was white-knuckled enough to crack bone on a lesser demon. Right. Putting two protagonists in one space for too long was just asking for a chemical reaction. Except, as Bingge's glowing Jian flashed once more into existence, Shen Yuan said, wait. He felt strangely reluctant to share, but this other self of his, this innocent other self who didn't know the worst of what they'd been and never needed to, had still lost things when he became Shen Qingqiu. Our family, I could call them. They'd be here in less than an hour if you wanted to see them, to say goodbye, to rip open wounds that, judging by Bing Mei's age, had to be at least a decade old. But they were wounds that still ached, if Shen Qingqiu's look of longing was anything to go by. A look quickly shuddered. Shen Qingqiu sighed and leaned into his Luo Bingha. No, it would only freak them out to see Daga's twin. And besides, they're not really my family. That's not me anymore. Shen Qingqiu didn't have to say it. Shen Yuan had said it often enough to himself. He wondered if the other Mei Mei had ever said it to her brother. But why would she? He'd never had the memories that would require such reassurance. No, I suppose they're not. They didn't say farewell, only nodded before Luo Bingha was cutting through realities and sending them back to theirs. You didn't tell them, Shen Yuan asked Luo Bingha, about who he was? Not every truth needs to be known or shared. He drank Mengpo's soup, and the other one never had to live what I did. Let them have that mercy. Shen Yuan stared at this Luo Bingha, his Luo Bingha, who could talk of mercy now rather than vengeance. Something fluttered in his chest, but it was unpleasant, and the pinging of the monitors said it was probably a health issue instead of something embarrassing like feelings. I ignore those. Shen Yuan waved off the alarms and Luo Bingha's confusion at them, breathing slow and deep until the noise subsided. They're just warning of my imminent death. What? Luo Bingha raised Zhang Xin's hilt, as though he meant to slice through the machines. Which would be bad. Dago would kill them both if he had to replace expensive hospital equipment. It's not them, it's my heart. I told you I was sick in this life. It's worse now. He grimaced. Luo Bingha didn't look comforted by this explanation. I was sort of hoping, when I died, I'd return to my old body, to our world. That I'd return to you, he said without saying. You can't. It's gone. More medical alarms, but Shen Yuan could hardly be blamed for that, when Luo Bingha was the one who... You destroyed the world? After everything Shen Yuan had suffered and sacrificed, if Luo Bingha had gone through with his world-ending plan, they were going to have words. No, not the world. Just most of the crushing spirit lava flats. And your body. Luo Bingha hunched like it was his own spirit that had been crushed. Nothing survived, Ayuan. There's nothing for you to go back to. Oh, well, that was not optimal. Maybe if Shen Yuan had some time, he could arrange another option. The Sun Moon Dew mushrooms could be used to make empty bodies. How long did they take to cultivate? Wasn't there something to do with the Holy Mausoleum? Or did you need a whole and undamaged body for that resurrection route? Maybe Chen Longjun could be consulted, if he was still around and amenable. If your heart is the problem. Luo Bingha nudged onto the too small hospital bed and cuddled up against his side. There is a cure. I am not having sex in a hospital bed, Shen Yuan declared flatly. Sure, Pa 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 with a heavenly pillar might fix everything from acne to Zika virus,
but attempting it here was just asking for some tube or wire to be yanked out unpleasantly. Honestly, he was surprised when the nurses hadn't walked in on them already. Luo Bingha's protagonist Halo must be working overtime to give them privacy. Luo Bingha blinked at him a moment, then snort-giggled in a way that would have been unattractive on anyone else.
My blood, Shizun. I meant my blood parasites.
Oh. Wishing for a fan, he could only reach for the next best thing and hide his face in Luo Bingha's chest. Luo Bingha, predictably, would not let him escape so easily. Ducking his head, he whispered into Shen Yuan's ear,
though once Shizun is feeling up to it, this disciple is more than willing to fuck a golden core into him.
Allowing himself one muffled wail, Shen Yuan pulled on his adult communication breeches and removed his face from the endless abyss of Luo Bingha's cleavage. We'll discuss cultivation, dual or otherwise, later. For now, let's just keep me from dying again.
Gladly,
Luo Bingha said, flirtation eclipsed by something raw and earnest. He flicked his tongue against his teeth, grown unexpectedly sharp, and then he was leaning down to kiss blood into Shen Yuan's mouth. It should have been gross. It was gross, kind of. But it was also sweet and hot, and Shen Yuan's hands crept up to grasp Luo Bingha's collar and hold him when he would have backed off after the initial rush of parasites flowed in and got to work. The next kisses were less bloody and more intense. Shen Yuan's heart fluttered, and it was a good feeling this time, like it had been healed, like he was whole.
Zheng Xin.
As he'd never been before, in any life. Smiling at that thought, into Luo Bingha's kiss, Shen Yuan let himself drift to sleep, and to dreams of the great adventures to come. Shen Yuan's next awakening was ruder than he would have preferred. A jolt and the creak and clatter of a body being shoved to the floor of a hospital room full of delicate machinery.
You! I know who you are! I know what you did!
Instead of Luo Bingha, Shen Yuan's Mei Mei stood at his bedside, her back to him and her personal set of BTS-branded Korean chopsticks brandished like two swords to hold Luo Bingha off.
You stay away from him.
It's okay, Mei Mei. The blood parasites had cleared the gunk of disuse from Shen Yuan's throat. The current roughness was from sleep and affection. He caught her sleeve and tugged ineffectually. He couldn't wait to get to work cultivating in this body. He'd need to wait at least until core formation before he could show his neat pallid face to any of his Sangcheong colleagues. Hadn't Airplane included some Rapunzel knockoff flower that allowed people to grow their hair to ridiculous lengths? He'd need that to avoid being mistaken for a criminal when he got back.
It's fine, he...
It's not fine. The fluorescent hospital lighting glinted off Mei Mei's chopsticks when she jabbed them at Luo Bingha's belly, too distant to even skim his clothing, but the threat was clear. Instead of retaliating, Luo Bingha held back, looking more bemused than offended. That did not help soothe Mei Mei's fury.
What he did to you could never be fine.
It's resolved between us. He sought for some argument that would satisfy her. He's why I was able to come back here.
Nothing.
He healed my heart. She remained unmoved by both Shen Yuan's tugging and his words. How to explain the years it took them to come to their current equilibrium. And then, Shen Yuan realized, the words had been given to him by Mei Mei herself many times over the years. Those people I told you about, that's not either of us anymore. She knew the significance of that mantra, casting an incredulous look over her shoulder at Shen Yuan, and then another wary look at Luo Bingha, she slowly lowered her weapons.
Truly?
And he brought you back to us. In a very roundabout fashion, but Shen Yuan didn't think it would help de-escalate the situation if he shared the details with her just now.
he promised he would, he said, because he also couldn't lie to his Maymay, or he'd be the one skewered like a hawberry on her chopstick. And he... Her gaze flicked to his chest, to the hospital gown flowers that danced over a heart that pumped strong and sure beneath. Lips twitching, she drawled. He healed your heart? Shen Yuan groaned and covered his face, struggling to keep behind the shield of his hands no matter how much Mei Mei tried to pry them away. Really, Sangha, your heart, your achy breaky heart, will it go on and on? Is it on fire? Is it on fire with a burning desire? Mei Mei rubbed the reddened spot where he'd flicked her brow. Shen Yuan smirked. He might not have the spiritual energy or a fan to smack her with, but years with three teasing siblings had honed his finger flick into a deadly weapon. Pouting, Mei Mei subsided with a poke to his cheek and a muttered, "Who knew Sangha would ever utter such cheesy dialogue?" "Who's your Sangha? I'm disowning you." He kicked as though his Mei Mei were anywhere near his feet, as though they weren't pinned to the bed by hospital corners. "You can't." She'd moved from his face to more general poking. "Only Mama and Baba have that honor, and they won't. I'm their favorite." "Their favorite menace, you mean?" Oh no, her fingers were curling in preparation for tickling. Time to bring out the big guns. "Bingha, help." When help didn't immediately come, Shen Yuan lowered his hands to see Luo Bingha keeping a respectful distance and watching them with a soft smile. "The relationship between the Shen siblings is good," he said, wistfully. "This one would not dream of getting between it." "Betrayer." Shen Yuan's glare promised retribution, but Mei Mei's gasp forestalled it. "Oh, shit! Siblings!" She hopped off the edge of his bed and stooped to gather the contents of her purse, likely scattered when she forgot all else to draw her chopsticks. "Daga drove. He's parking the car. You've about 10 seconds to come up with an explanation for your boyfriend." Less than, because just then the door opened. "Boyfriend?" said Daga, as icy and foreboding as Shen Qingqiu had ever been. Behind him, Arga loomed. The gratuitous knuckle cracking made Shen Yuan wince. "Who has a boyfriend?" Mei Mei, that traitor, pointed at Shen Yuan. "Ah well, it was a nice fourth life while it lasted. Daga, Arga, this is Luo Bingha, my..." Any thought of dissembling and claiming Luo Bingha only as a friend died when he saw the cautious hope glimmering in Luo Bingha's eyes, like a dog hoping for scruffles but expecting to be kicked. Like a boy hoping for a kind master and getting scalding tea dumped on his head. Sighing, Shen Yuan closed his eyes and said, "My boyfriend." While his older brothers took over the interrogation, to Luo Bingha's masochistic delight, it seemed, Mei Mei nudged up onto the bed and leaned closer to whisper, "Zhang Ling He." Shen Yuan dragged his gaze from Luo Bingha's giddy smile, and how it seemed to be sending Arga into knuckle-cracking irritation.
"What?"
"Casting. I can see it."
"What? No, he looks nothing like..."
"Doesn't matter if the look is wrong," she said with a definitive nod, as though she knew anything about the entertainment industry besides what she'd learned from Doban and too many idol selection shows. "What you need is the sexy intensity, and Linga's got it." "Linga for Binga. Ooh, I should share that." In a moment, she had her phone out, fingers flying. "No, why are you like this?" Shen Yuan wailed, trying to snatch her phone from her and only getting a hand in his face for his efforts while she finished her post with one thumb. So much for having a normal reunion. Unable to stop any of the nonsense going on around him, Shen Yuan sunk into his hospital bed and tried to smother himself with his own pillow. And if he was smiling as he did so, well, nobody could prove anything. Chapter 16. Epilogue.
A New Life, Revisited. It took a year. Turned out not even blood parasites are a protagonist's halo, or pillar, but Shen Yuan wasn't dwelling on that. Could fix a lifetime of poor health and inactivity. It also turned out that the physical therapy of Shen Yuan's world was better developed to fix those kinds of systemic issues than 100 PIDW pills and elixirs. It also turned out that Shen Yuan wasn't ready to say farewell to his family, even if it was only temporary thanks to Zheng Xin's OP portal abilities. No more than they were ready to let him go traipsing off on a world tour with his himbo. "Who thought you'd be the one to take after Mama and Baba?" Mei Mei said at the end of their farewell dinner, a year to the day after Shen Yuan's miracle recovery and discharge from the hospital. Her eyes were red and puffy. She hadn't even bothered to put on makeup for their dinner. She just waved them all off when they swore she was perfect and didn't need it. Shen Yuan pretended not to notice when her eyes went dewy again with a fresh bout of tears. In the kitchen of his apartment, his brothers were distracting Luo Bingha from cleanup, with questions about their itinerary and admonitions to take care of their Sandi. They never questioned how exactly Luo Bingha had saved Shen Yuan's life, but they had grudgingly come to admit that their little brother had flourished under his boyfriend's care. But their acceptance only carried so far. Luo Bingha was still an unemployed vagabond with no family, no huko status, no resident identity card, who sometimes disappeared for days at a time. It was all extremely sketchy, and neither brother liked it. And now, Luo Bingha was taking the youngest Shen brother off to some place so far away that there was no cell service. And would a place that remote even have hospitals? And what if there was an emergency? "I'd better go rescue Bingha," Shen Yuan said, giving Mei Mei a final hug and escaping to the kitchen before he started bawling. Crying was like yawning. Once one person started doing it, everyone followed. That was just science. Eventually, his family left and the kitchen was clean, all the leftovers sent home with the others so they didn't have to worry about Shen Yuan choking on some expired meat bun when he and Luo Bingha blew back into town 6 months later. Dage had arranged for a weekly service to check on the apartment. "Just in case you decide you don't like the jungle or tundra or wherever it is you're off to." Mei Mei told Shen Yuan there was a bet between the siblings over how long Shen Yuan would last without the internet. One she fully expected to win.
"Is Shuzun having second thoughts?" Luo Bingha asked,
when Shen Yuan continued to putter, wiping countertops that gleamed, opening a fridge empty of anything but a knob of ginger that would probably be thrown out long before their return. Luo Bingha had changed while Shen Yuan dithered, his modern button-up and slacks exchanged for robes of black and silver fit for a demon lord. The hilt of Zheng Xin hung from his belt like an embossed silver yao pei. The red ziyin on his brow was the only mark of color. It has bothered Shen Yuan a little when his brothers criticized Luo Bingha for leaving on his mysterious business trips. But he couldn't very well explain that his boyfriend was off conquering a demon realm, quelling lingering unrest among the cultivation sects, wrangling an absentee father and cousin into a functional detente, and generally making a Xianxia world safe for a Shen Yuan who only had a baby golden core and mediocre, though improving, muscle tone. Mei Mei knew, but she took a perverse delight in teasing Luo Bingha for his fantasy MMO obsession. There were entire battles Luo Bingha would report on the results of, and Daga and Argo would just roll their eyes and dismiss it all as esports nonsense and grumble that, yeah, maybe Sandi and Luo Bingha were kind of perfect for each other, as though Shen Yuan would ever date a gamer. Sighing, Shen Yuan tugged on his still short hair. "No, I'm ready. If we stay, I might be tempted to watch that show, and we both know what a disaster that would be." The announced debut of the PIDW drama had been the push Shen Yuan needed to leave the comforts of this world. Even if it ended up being the best thing ever committed to film, he knew it would be awful for his sanity and his heart.
he didn't want to test the limits of the healing parasites. Besides, that really wasn't him anymore. Slipping into the Hanfu Luobingha had brought for him was as easy as slipping into an old skin, though all of the layers were new, sized for his shorter and slighter form. Luobingha had warned the other Peak Lords that the Shenxingqiu who was returning would be changed, and reported back to Shen Yuan that everyone seemed too happy he was coming back healthy to mind that he was wearing a slightly altered everything. "Ready," he said, emerging from the bedroom in a swirl of spring green and bamboo embroidery. He tucked a care package Tiankun bag in his sleeve. He'd missed disappearing things into his sleeves. He'd gathered an assortment of coffee, chocolate, energy drinks, packs of ramen and shrimp crisps, about 3 dozen bound printouts of web novels that Shang Tinghua had mentioned, because Shen Yuan was a bro that way. Not quite. Luo Binghe held Qing Jing's Peak Lord Guan in one hand, and a trumpet-shaped blossom in the other. With a soft huff, Shen Yuan took the bloom. "Flower, gleam, and glow," he sang under his breath, touched but not surprised that Luo Binghe had remembered his offhand mention of this particular PIDW plot device, remembered and retrieved it for him. Lifting the cup in a toast, he drank the nectar within. It burned like baijiu and made his head tingle. Within moments, hair thick and lustrous and, thankfully, black as ink flowed down his neck and shoulders. It caught on his new hanfu like creeping vines and got in his eyes and mouth. He batted the hair away, spat it out. The tingling subsided. Thank all the officials in heaven. The growth had slowed and stopped somewhere mid-hip. With the ease of long experience, Luo Binghe brought out a comb and smoothed everything out before fixing the guan in place. Before long, Shen Yuan looked like a proper Peak Lord, rather than a madman, a criminal, or a neat wearing a commissioned cosplay. He lifted his chin, felt his shoulders straighten with the added weight of his new hair and the gravitas of his position. Out came his fan, though he left his face uncovered as he met Luo Binghe's soft smile with his own. The sparkle of nighttime Bee City beyond the apartment windows did little to interrupt their reflections in the smoked glass. No longer Shen Tiao, or Shen Qingqiu, or Shen Yuan. No longer the White Lotus, or the black sheep Luo Binghe of PIDW either. They weren't those people anymore. He patted the curls escaping Luo Binghe's guan. Then he let his hand drop to tangle their fingers together. Not master and disciple, not villain and hero. Just partners standing against the world together. "I'm ready. Let's go home." It was time to learn who they could become. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. And if you enjoyed this podfic, you're also welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening.